The programs are there. We've had considerable difficulty getting anyone who was interested in taking these, and this has been the big problem. But the programs indeed are there, Mr. Petrovich.
I think it's a very good reason why they haven't been taken advantage of. But now there's a place for them to go.
Yeah.
Graduate them, there's a place for them to go. There hasn't been for 20 years.
No, that's true.
World War II. But now, and for the foreseeable future, there's a market for
them. I agree.
William J. Zito. Would you state your name and any other pertinent information for the record?
My name is William J. Zito. I'm a student at the University of Alaska, but I'm representing myself. And I'm a student in the College of Earth Sciences and Mathematics. And I'm an electrical engineering student. But prior to that, I'm an electronic technician of considerable years' experience. And my remarks concern three topics. One on the policies and procedures of the university, on one area and one area only. One comment on House Bill 541, and one comment on the ET program that Mr. Huber brought up. Since I asked the President, Mr. Hyatt, to remain and listen to my remarks, because eventually you'll get to him with them, but I have gone through the official channels on three occasions, and the last one was through my dean and through the registrar, and had signatures coming out all over the place, approving of a particular request, but it died in Earl's office, Earl Beislein, the provost, and it never did, I believe, reach our former president's head, and presumably this time, through your committee, it might reach our new president's head, and if not through you, certainly you'll hear my voice. But it concerns a topic dear to my heart known as the statute of limitations for grades, if you will. I'm not the world's best student at this university, but I have been around an awful long time. One joke is that I've got tenure, I've been here so long. But I am trying to graduate. And I have, on occasion, several occasions, repeated many courses. I initially, that is, for the first 3 years of my schooling, didn't care much for my grades. I just wanted the information and wanted the knowledge. Consequently, my attitude was not administrative-oriented. And I didn't pass, mainly because I was interested in the information and not in the grades, and I suppose my own attitude is the principal responsible factor. At any rate, I've retaken my courses, those that were failing grades, those that were marginal grades, and in one particular case, mathematics, since that's prime to electronic engineering and physics, but in particular my field, I've taken one course three times just to refresh. But each of my grades that are bad, my F's and my D's, still hang around on my records from 10 years ago. And they're very difficult to overcome a very bad grade when using the mathematics of the GPA. In fact, any successful demonstration of academic achievement cannot, unless it's of superior quality, an A or better, even begin to suppress the deficit spending of an F or a D. It's just impossible. You can get 4 credits of A once, but if you get 4 credits of D or F a couple of times, you're finished. I mean, you're always on an uphill struggle, and my dean behind me will verify that I'm always on an uphill struggle. Well, it's a fact. Nevertheless, higher education, that is beyond the bachelor's degree and beyond that, beyond the master's and so forth, there is a statute of limitations on grades. You just can't hang around with a grade in mineral engineering or in electronic engineering or anything else and expect to be proficient 10 years from now, and that grade can give you some credit. You just can't go on to the next higher grade course unless you can demonstrate again current proficiency in that particular field. This is not true for undergraduate courses, and in my case, being an older student, it's been 10, sometimes 15 years since I've taken a course. But I'm qualified to go on to the next course just simply because I've got that grade back there. Now, pride being what it is, I did go on to the next course and promptly flunked it more than once. never again. However, you must play the administration rule. The GPA is the only thing that counts up at the head office. And I would like to see some change in current policy relative to grades that have been successfully completed that would not be some kind of perpetual burden on your GPA. I am currently under a 2-point, not very far, 0.3%, but I can't graduate until I get a 2-point. And I'm fighting a couple of D's and 2 or 3 F's from way back. And I just can't hack it unless I, you know, produce B's and A's, which is something I'd like to produce anyway, but that's not the point. The point is that I have these things dragging me down. I've petitioned legitimately through the normal channels, and I have Dean Belke's approval, I have the registrar's approval, beautiful snow, my advisor's approval, my department head's approval, and everyone agreed that, you know, such a thing is in the best interest of the student, but it gets to the provost and presumably to the president's office and dies there because of policy. The policy is that all grades will be figured in, that is on your undergraduate level, your final or your GPA, regardless of the grade. An F is just as important to your grade as an A in the same thing. If you repeat it, get an A, or repeat it, get a B or a C. You try and bring your grade up, you're stuck with that grade no matter how long you sit with it. It makes no difference. And I don't believe that's the principal purpose of an education, personally.
Yeah,
Well, I can wait a few minutes. My wife is only answer waiting for me, and she can tolerate a little bit of wait.
Say that this is within the university policy for them to analyze. Different universities have been looking at this question of grades a long time ago. Should they be life sentences if a person can demonstrate proficiency and maturity
certainly, and additional
experience and be able to offset those? So I really think this ought to be channeled back to the university to analyze in terms of practices around the nation. And
I agree with you 100%, and I've been waiting approximately 2 years for any response. Now, I think I've waited long enough. Now I'm asking you, as my representatives, me being part of your constituency, to represent me, to influence the board, my president, my dean agrees, and my department heads, they all agree, on this one particular avenue. Don't wipe them off my record. Let my record show that I got F's and D's. But I'm asking you, petition in my behalf, that you get some answer in response to your question, which is mine, as to the purpose and the current feasibility of this archaic program.
Well, I think it's within the province of the committee to suggest to the university that they might examine practices around the country on this matter.
Not the country, sir, if I may interrupt. I'm not graduating around the country. No. I'm graduating here at the university. And what policy is valid in New York?
Take one person's problem and tell the university to set up a policy for that one problem.
It's not my specific problem. Let me reiterate. It's corporate policy. It is the policy of the university, which at least one student, and Earl Beislein, the provost, has at least more on record, I'm sure, of this problem occurring. Yeah, so I don't feel that it is my personal problem. If it was my personal problem, it would stop at my dean's office. But this involves policy, and the policy is dictated.
A
creed. Just review and see if my question
well.
Has any merit.
Now, would you go on to your second
question? That's it.
Just to get an idea, we have, and I know he does, we have our advisor here. Is this being seriously looked at in other universities? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about
I can't tell it in terms of percentage, but I know some universities and some colleges that do recognize that an individual may have had some problems in 10 years ago. And so
or even last year, yeah.
And that if he has, let's say, repeated that course and done well subsequently, it's that subsequent record that enters into the calculation. And the other is
that would be
will
nice.
Stay on the record, but it's
certainly
it's washed out as far as the impact on the
current GPA.
But that's all I'm suggesting is the university take this and examine it in terms of some practices, and then see what this translates to in terms of university policy that affects cases like yours.
Might we consider, Madam Chairman, that we would look into this further and see if it would be proper for us to make such a recommendation. This isn't the first time I've run into it.
We can't do this until we get to end with the recommendation.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Well, I asked the president to listen so that he could, you know, hear the first hand instead of second or third. So, and you can leave it with him if you like. I don't care.
We know that the policy that's being talked about is not one that was started recently by the present president.
That's true. It goes back 10 years. It goes back 10 or more years.
The responsibility for such a policy, I come back, is the responsibility of the university. It isn't something that a state committee or state legislature should mandate. It's the university's policy. They have that legal authority to establish the policy as seems most appropriate for their educational program. And all I think the committee can do is suggest to the university to take an examination of this in terms of some other practices nationwide and develop a policy that will take into account some of the points that you've mentioned.
If you'll excuse my baseness, we all know that it's the legislature that turns the screws. I'm just asking you to tweak it a little bit. That's all. Not necessarily on my behalf, but on behalf of the whole system. I'm asking to look at corporate policy. And with that, I'll proceed to the next topic. I agree with you at all points, except in principle. On House Bill 541, I personally, this is with regard to the board, otherwise known as the Board of Regents. If it's possible. Oh, I'm on page 6, lines 17 through 20. And this is just an argument in principle, a statement in principle. Again, I can't be specific. I can't even recommend how it could be done. Likewise, I can't recommend how they could, you know, look at my grades or anyone else's grades in my particular predicament. But if you're going to set up a community college, something, a new system, I would recommend, if at all possible, that you set up a new regents, and that's in quotes. It doesn't have to be a regents. It could be something that is not perpetuating the old system. I don't believe that you're going to have a good community college that is modern, if you will, or at least looks forward with some kind of autonomy, that is going to be chained to our current or contemporary Board of Regents. They are the responsible authority, as I read here. They appoint the people that go on the Community Advisory Council, and in essence, they turn the screw for the community college, which is nothing more than the University of Alaska. And it's going to be like the ET program was 10 years ago. It's going to come under the university, and the screws will be turned as the whim of departments and department heads see it. I just can't see that. It doesn't make sense to me. In principle, I think it's wrong. You're going to start a new system, let them be advisors, but certainly not be the final authority, as our regents is. Everything is passed off to the regents. The regents passes it off to the legislature, and they pass it off to the current administration. They say, go see your dean, go see the president. And then it's just, you know, a vicious circle. And that's my experience as an adult anyway. They claim non-responsibility. I would like to see, if possible, a different kind of board set up, not the current or the present structure as is for the University of Alaska. My third point is on the ET program. I've been in that business for a long time. I earn my living in it. That's what sends me to school. I'll admit I'm pretty good at it. The ET program, in my opinion, and I've seen the students that this place produces from way back in 61 to now. They need what I consider to be excellent labs, because that's what an electronics technician is all about. They don't have now, they haven't had in the recent past, good labs. They, again, my opinion, but they don't have at this moment qualified laboratory instructors. They just missed the point on what an ET program is. Years ago, it was incorporated into the engineering department, and no two different sciences you've ever met than an engineer and a technician. And take that from me. It's a whole new ballgame. But an ET is one thing, and an engineer is something else. Never the twain shall meet except in the payroll of some corporation. And they have similar points of view, but therein the similarity lies. Without a good lab and good lab instructors, they're dead. I've seen the product. I didn't catch all of it, but yes, I would tend to support his statement. I'd isolate it from the engineering, although we could cooperate with them and they with us, especially on E-Day. But there is a definite parting of the ways, and there's no debate whatsoever. And from an engineering point of view, which I'm in, and a technician's point of view, which I am, there's a difference. There are no the two, and one handicaps the other. Long time ago, Dr. Tryon, the past head of the Department of Electrical Engineering and the ET department, You know, told me, you're either a technician or you're an engineer. At the time, I disbelieved him, and I will argue him on a few basic points, but in general principle, he's right. You can't be one. You can't serve two masters. You just can't do it. And if anybody could do it, I think I could. And if nothing, I'll just beat him into submission. But I can't even do that. He won't let me. You've got to demonstrate some proficiency in the finer arts of engineering. Whether or not there's a market here is not the point. You make your own market in my business, and I'll find a job one way or the other. However, that ET program needs good instructors and good labs, and the current trend is to produce bad technicians. They're not as good as they were 4 years ago. They just aren't. And some of the questions they ask me as an engineering student, not knowing that I'm a technician, I'm really surprised at, because they should have the answers. No. He and I don't see eye to eye on many things, and we don't have two words of. You know, he holds his sword over my head, and I'm trying to fight him. No, we haven't got together on this. So no collaboration whatsoever. Yeah.
I might be able
to make some transportation arrangements if I could take 2 minutes to find out
what
your plans are. I indicated I would be happy to pick you up at the hotel at 6, but do you have rides downtown or not?
I don't know, John.
You have a ride to town.
You have a ride to town. So the committee can get to town.
1, 2, 3, 4.
John? Fine. Then I will pick the four of you up at the hotel at 6 o'clock.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think I can maybe shed a little humorous light on what he's telling you. That to the technician, there's a place on the side of the machine that's marked X, at least in the mind, and that's where you kick it when it don't work. And to the engineer, there isn't any such spot marked X.
It's called a Brogan adjustment. It works. Believe me, it works.
Yeah, the technician can demonstrate to the engineer that spot that you have to kick does work.
The engineers design things, technicians make them work. It's as simple as that in my simple way of looking at it. I would support any improved program, and I would support better labs, and not necessarily people with an engineering degree to teach them. Now, I'm qualified to teach ET, so I can teach any ET, be it Eskimo or be it white man. I can make a good tech out of them.
Maybe you can make a trade with him. Let him teach a class, and then you let him make a class free.
But I'm a lousy engineer so far. You know, just
we don't have any engineers teaching these people. Indeed, we did have one engineer some years ago, and we had problems there because indeed he didn't recognize technicians. So we have only technicians teaching the technicians.
Well, the current requirement on the university employment notice is degree in electrical engineering preferred, not necessary, but preferred. And it's nice, but he better have come up through the ranks before he could be qualified to teach a technician. They're just two different things.
Mr. Taylor, we're very pleased that you stopped by to
thank you.
And I'm
well, I hope so. I mean, I've done everything I can through normal channels.
They should really take the attitude that they should let you get the grade point average up until you graduate.
Well, I'm trying.
Not have you around your heck with them.
Well, the burden is up to me, but he is a patient man. I can vouch for that. But we don't usually see eye to eye in principle. But I'll work for it.
Thank you, and I hope you haven't kept your wife waiting.
Oh, no. No, not at all. I'll explain everything. Thank you very much.
I think that perhaps it's rather better during this meeting right now. Until tomorrow. Mildred, it's so nice to see you again.